Democrats have failed the black community for too long, so says Ken Blackwell, who's a distinguished fellow at the Family Research Council. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we're going to talk about this right now. Ken, it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be with you, Jerry.
All right, well, we've seen in the last several months just unbelievable race riots and unrest in this country like we really haven't seen in decades. And first of all, let's get your assessment of that from a Christian perspective.
What we've known as a constitutional republic with a harness on the reach and power of government is that what has made us unique is our recognition of God as being central to the life of our nation. And so what we've done is made sure that we put into practice day in and day out something that the founders captured in the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, where it said that our rights were our unalienable rights, were not grants from government, but they are gifts from God, and that a government can only do one thing, and that is to protect our fundamental human rights, not grant them. And as a consequence, what we've done is given human freedom an opportunity to be not only creative but prosperous. And as a nation, we've done well when we've recognized that God is at the center of our nation. And what has happened is that we now have two worldviews that are in play. We have this status worldview that says that government is the provider of right and those things that are good, and that individuals are nothing more than subjects, versus those of us who believe that we are free individuals and that great nations are made by good men and good women doing great things together.
Hmm. Well, you know, it's strange. During this time of the social unrest, the part of God, you know, there has been somewhat of an attack on God or Jesus. I mean, for example, I remember one of the leaders said that, you know, Jesus is too white, and if anybody wants to attack the white Jesus, you know, in the name of racial justice, that's a good thing. I was shocked when I saw crowds chanting, some of these, you know, violent type protesters and so forth, chanting, blank your Jesus. They were actually singing this, and it was like, you can't be serious. I mean, they were using the F word. It's like, what is going on here in America?
Well, Jerry, look, you know, Black Lives Matter Incorporated, you know, is led by self-avowed Marxists. And what we know about Marxists and Leninists across the globe is that they don't believe in God. They believe that religion is the opium of the people, and that must be, and religion and belief in God must be exercised out of the people. And so right there defines the struggle. Those who are in fact godless versus those of us who believe in the grace and the power and the magnificence of our God.
Hmm. Okay, as far as the black community in America is concerned, what can be done, Ken, to lift as many people as are willing to, you know, out of poverty and into prosperity and the abundance that's available in America for those who work right and play hard and so forth?
Well, a couple things, Jerry. Look, what we know and what history of Marxist and Marxist-Leninism says to us is that we know that the family is the incubator of liberty. That when you have a viable family unit and when you have a community of families, you need less government. When you have people who believe in God, you need less government because there is a moral contract that we have with our community and one another. And so we must stop the destruction of the black family. And that's why I think it is so obvious to many of us that those who are leading this this movement against the family, this movement against freedom and constitutional governance, you know, have not our interests at heart, but they are, in fact, moving towards a more dependent black community where, again, black folks are nothing more than subjects. So reestablishing the primacy of the family and the centrality of God in the life of the nation is so important. But let's talk in practical terms. As a former mayor, one of the things that I know is that capital seeks the path of least resistance and greatest opportunity, and that capital is a coward. It doesn't run towards violence. And so if you want to stop the decline of these cities and then have an infusion of capital, you must make them safe. And so it runs counter to the interests of economic vitality in these communities for people to advocate violence and destruction. And as a consequence, when you have communities that are killing fields as opposed to fields of dreams, you don't have an environment where kids can be raised and workers can find jobs and care for themselves as self-participating folks in their own upliftment. So that's what we have to do. One, we had to create communities that are safe, that are family free, friendly, and we in fact have to once again raise up the family structure, the nuclear family, as being actually essential to the upliftment of blacks. And in the 60s, in the early 60s, there were as many black families intact in that community and those communities across the nation as in the nation in general. It was with the Great Society program where we started to incentivize the destruction of the family and the breakup of the family that we started to see the rise in dropouts from schools and the destruction of positive role models in the house for young black men in particular.
Where does school choice fit into this in terms of trying to make a big difference?
School choice is very important because right now too many young black children are being held prisoner in dysfunctional schools because they don't have choice. They don't have a way out. And as a consequence of people being more concerned about teachers' union than the educational opportunities and upliftment of children, that we in fact see an acceleration of school dropouts and people not being prepared to be agents of their own upliftment through work and family.
But you know, one thing that's strange to me, though, and this I have to admit I don't understand, and that is I've seen situations and heard testimonies along the lines of where there's been a let's say a young black person who's applying himself or herself at school, and then they get ridiculed or they get bullied by fellow blacks at school. Oh, you're too white. You know, as if you're excelling at school, your academic achievement is a curse, not a blessing. And I don't understand that. Help me to understand that. And how do we change that?
I really can't help you to understand it because it's pure nonsense. But that's the sort of perpetuation of abnormality that is consistent with this notion that pursuing a path of not only education but work and self-upliftment is somewhat an attribute of being something other than being black. That is just crazy. So it is inexplicable because it cuts against social science, it cuts against common sense, and it cuts against our biblical upbringing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you put it this way, Barack Obama, whose politics I would disagree with, but he didn't get where he was, that is, as president of the United States, without a lot of hard work. So, you know, and that would be true for anybody, yourself included. So that's good for all of us, for everybody to, you know, improve their lives and make something of the gifts and talents that God has given to us.
Absolutely. But it is this perpetuation of this notion that these things like working hard, getting a good education, are the attributes of white folks and white folks only. that's just nonsense. But it is, it is though we've gone through the looking glass, and what is up is down and what is down is up. It doesn't make sense.
Well, I understand.
And so that's why we must be engaged, and we must push back, and we must explode these myths and this nonsense.
Right. Well, Black Lives Matter, at one point, at least on their website, and I understand they have now scrubbed the website from this, but they did have the objection to, or objective rather, to get rid of the nuclear family. The nuclear family, that's God's design. How about the issue of the police? You were saying earlier you were a mayor of a city. Was that Cincinnati, or was that?
Yeah, that was Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, okay. Okay, defund the police. As a former mayor of a major, major American city, what are your thoughts about defund the police and that whole push for that?
Well, it really doesn't make sense. The natural inclination of any individual is to look for what psychologists call equilibrium and what sociologists call safety. That's just a natural instinct. You know, we don't want to be off balance, and we don't want to be always in terror of being harmed. And so, as I was saying before, the first obligation of government is safety. At the local level, it is safety, neighborhood safety, safety of our streets, safety, in our neighborhood. At the national level, it is national security. That is the primary responsibility of government. So this whole notion that you're going to turn our cities into lawlessness, fields of lawlessness, is crazy, and that's exactly what you would get if you do away with the police. Hmm. Yeah, and so again, one of the things that I find ironic is that a lot of the folks who and public officials who buy into or embrace this notion of defund the police, they in fact have private police.
Yeah,
they have their own protection.
Which means that they're just basically hypocrites. Well, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. FRC.org for more information. Ken Blackwell. Thanks, Ken. All the best.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.